Welcome to Here I Am, Lord, a weekly faith-filled program about learning to say yes to Jesus in the ordinary moments of everyday life. Join Marta Kyle as she invites you to grow in faith, recognize God's voice in daily life, and discover simple ways to follow Christ more faithfully each day.
And do. Well, welcome.
Welcome, welcome.
I am Marta Kyle.
And I'm Tara Wolfington.
And you are listening to Here I Am, Lord. We have a great show planned for you today.
Yes, on this rainy, rainy Thursday.
Yes, but it's also the feast day. Well, I don't know if you call it a feast day, but it's the day we recognize Saint Monica in the church, right?
So it's appropriate that it's raining buckets.
Exactly.
For the tears of Saint Monica. Yes,
that's beautiful. And tomorrow is her son, St. Augustine, and they marry them together.
Right.
Yeah.
Appropriately
mother
so.
Mother and son. Yes. So today we are going to talk about the mother and the son, Jesus and Mary, and how they reflect.
A mother and a son.
Yes.
And Monica and Augustine.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. So we thought it would be fun to open with the Magnificat because that prayer speaks about God's mercy, His power, His faithfulness to His promises, rejoicing in God's mercy. We don't really hear a lot from Mary in Scripture, but that Magnificat is so powerful, and it really sums up her whole life and her faithfulness to God, and she understands the faithfulness of God to His people and fulfilling His promises. So before we jump in, we are going to pray with you the Magnificat. So in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has looked with favor on His lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. He has mercy on those who fear Him in every generation. He has shown the strength of His arm, and He has scattered the proud and the conceit of their heart. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones, and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He has come to the help of His servants Israel, for He has remembered His promise of mercy, the promise He made to our fathers, to Abraham, and His children forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Amen. So doesn't that sum up, it really does sum up the Monica story beautifully, and Our Lady story in her walk with God and her walk with Jesus and our journey while we're here on earth.
It's a beautiful prayer.
It is a beautiful prayer. And we do want to talk about the two hearts, the one love. And by the end of tonight, we're going to meet the third heart that was shaped by both of them, which is Monica's heart. And isn't that true for all of our hearts are shaped by the heart of Jesus and the heart of Mary,
right.
The Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart.
And our walk
with them.
Yes.
And sometimes that walk's not an easy walk. We all know Monica had a difficult walk.
There are many, many mothers who say the novena and pray to St. Monica.
Yes.
Especially in today's day.
And it's not a short time of duration that we're praying for our children. Basically, it's from the time we conceive all the way to from the womb to the tomb, baby.
Right. But we do have little decades like Monica where we feel like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We're just praying and praying and praying.
Right. That's why the Magnificat was so beautiful. Our Lady had such faith and knowing, right, that God keeps His promises, that He's holy, He's faithful, and
that He has mercy.
Yeah.
On those who fear Him / follow His ways.
Mm-hmm. And I always love that part, He lifts up the lowly, and He sends the hungry, the proud, and the rich away empty. I think at some point in our lives, we're all proud, we're all rich. It could be rich in sins, it could be rich in things we're not supposed to be rich in, not just money, right?
Right.
So we could be rich in our ego, rich in our There's we talked about intellectual. You could be so rich in your intellectual knowledge that you're a know-it-all. You know better than God.
Right.
Could be so many things. And then
there is no God.
Yeah.
Because you're so smart.
Exactly.
I'm kidding.
Yeah. Where we make up our own version of what we think God is.
Our vanity.
Yeah.
Rich our vanity. Vanity. Mm-hmm. Or rich in.
Yeah.
So many things.
Yeah. And he sends us away empty. But isn't that at that exact moment when we usually meet Christ and we have our conversion? When we're at our lowest point or when we are emptied out of ourselves. Whatever situation life hands us, right?
Right.
Some lemons.
Right. But usually someone's praying for us. And
yeah. And that
a lot of times the Lord sends someone in to
mm-hmm. And wasn't that the case
work.
With Monica, right?
Yeah.
So she prayed and prayed and prayed, and she didn't feel like she was making any headway. And she had met with one bishop, those of you that are familiar with that story. And the bishop had said to her, don't stop praying.
Right.
But I'm not going to speak to Ambrose. Her request was that she would speak to Ambrose and argue him into sensibility, if you will.
Right.
Into,
and he
the
basically
right
said, this battle's going to happen on your knees.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He did. He said, keep on praying, baby cakes.
Right.
But I'm not going to argue your son out of his. He's too intellectually.
Right.
Gifted right now, and he's going to have to come
and
to
proud.
That king.
Maybe he was
to
a little proud.
Yeah. So he's going to come to that on his own. And in God's providence, the way God worked that out, it
right.
was pretty fancy.
And also because he was dabbling in a different faith.
Yes.
He was dabbling yeah. in a new age for that age.
Yeah.
You know, there's
exactly.
a new age this age. It was a new age in that age. He was kind of dipping into that, and there were parallels, but it was really not.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't right. the true faith, and Monica knew the true faith. She lived it. She walked it. She persevered through it.
Right.
Yeah.
But that bishop knew.
He knew. He had wisdom.
At this point in time, he mm-hmm. is not, you know.
Yeah.
He's not ready. This isn't God's time. This battle's going to happen on your knees.
Exactly.
Surely the
said.
Lord is not going to let the prayers of a mother like this go unheard.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I thought that was beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. He reminded us of what Kathleen always says. God captures all of our tears. And he doesn't let any of them go. He's got them all captured. And mm-hmm. especially the tears and the prayers of a mother. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we do in the spiritual world have authority to pray over our children with more authority mm-hmm. than other people do.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. And I think sometimes we forget that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Monica did not forget that.
She did not forget. My girl persevered and persisted. She got the gold medal for perseverance and persistence, right? But Our Lady obviously never forgot either. From that moment of her yes, her fiat, all the way through till she was that beautiful image of her standing at the cross.
Yes.
She did not look away. Mm-hmm. She stood. They say she stood at the foot of the cross. She didn't sit down. She didn't lay down. She didn't have a breakdown. I mean, she really, in silence and in prayer.
And in union.
And in
really,
union.
The two
yeah,
hearts.
The two hearts. Mm-hmm.
She stayed with him.
Yeah. And that was beautiful. And another thing we had, so for those of you who joined the Father Jim Blunt's retreat and Kathleen's retreat this past weekend, it was a healing retreat. Kathleen had mentioned at one point that beautiful image that was placed on the internet by Joanne Von Zwell.
Oh,
yeah.
It changed my life and
yeah.
the rosary.
So many people had said that. It was so... Sometimes I'm always blown away by these things because if you think about it, it's kind of obvious. You're like, oh, yeah, that was so obvious. Right?
Why didn't I think of
Why
that?
Why didn't I think of that? But yet, at the same time, it's so profound and you don't think of it. So basically, it was the Pietà in reverse.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So the Lord coming down and... He's
yeah.
holding his mother instead of his mother holding him.
Holding
they're going
him.
Up to heaven. And that visual.
Yeah.
I never say the glorious mystery is the same way again,
I
right?
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact,
the Assumption of Our Lady it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fabulous.
Yes.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Good
it's
job,
so
Joanne,
beautiful.
If you're
Good
listening.
Good job, Joanne. Yeah, because
yeah.
it is magnificent.
We'll have to get a copy of that.
I know.
For one of the auctions.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be
it
great.
Is beautiful. Yes. And now might not be the exact appropriate time, but don't forget about that golf auction. We have it coming up.
There you go. The golf outing. October 12th.
I digress so
Old
easily.
York Road Country Club in Ambler.
Yeah.
Find
Absolutely.
It on the website.
Find
it's
it
a great
on the
day.
Website. Please
come
join
for
us.
Dinner.
There's
just come
so
for golf.
Many. Yeah, there's so many ways to
sponsor.
Join. Sponsor.
I think we're just short a couple of nice sponsors. And then we'll be good to go. It's always nice to support Kathleen and the Radio Apostolate. There's only two events a year.
Yes.
Wake Up America Dinner and the golf outing.
Mm-hmm.
And they are both fabulous.
Yeah.
Really fun times to come and be in communion.
Mm-hmm.
And see all the people on the radio, right? Meet
yes.
everybody and
yeah.
meet and greet and
mm-hmm.
have some fun.
Yay. Absolutely.
Bring some friends.
Yeah. So.
So.
That was a fun little digression. And you said the auction in my mind was like, oh, yeah, the golf outing's coming up. October's going to be here before you know it. You're going to blink your eyes. We're already here at Labor Day. I can't believe it.
And then school starts and everybody goes. So you have to think about it now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, put it on the calendar. October 12th.
Yep. And school is definitely a time to think about a time where you have to walk. There's so many situations where you have to walk with your child. It could be anything. It could be that they're straying from the faith, and that's what Monica was suffering from.
Right.
But it also could be that your child's school experience isn't all that positive. It could be that they're being bullied terribly, or that they suffer through having a hard time in school, or maybe they're
Maybe
they are the bully. Yeah.
Right.
And there's so many ways that our mothers' hearts are torn, right, and tormented. And we try and stay in step with our children, but in step with the Lord and in step with prayer. So there's a million situations that you can relate to, Monica.
Right.
It's not always just that you have a wayward child.
Because her son was kind of the bad boy. So there's a bad boy on the side of the...
Exactly.
You know, there's the one who's...
Exactly.
Being, you know...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she was trying to guide him... And funny enough, he really didn't want any parts of it. We were laughing earlier about the story where Monica was going to follow him to Milan. And Augustine didn't really want any parts of it. He wanted to give her the slip. So he gave her the wrong time that the ship was going to leave.
Right.
And in his confessions, he feels guilty about that. So let's make it up. Say the ship was departing at 5 o'clock. And he told her 7 o'clock, so she shows up and he's long gone.
Right. Because he didn't want to be bullied by his mother.
He didn't want to be bothered. Yeah, bugged by his mother. He's like, enough.
But he felt
enough.
Guilty. He didn't want, at that point, he didn't want to hear it because he knew in his heart of hearts.
Exactly.
And what she was saying was right. And he was doing it. Not yet, Lord.
Yeah.
I'm coming.
Yes.
Not yet.
Which is in his confessions. Yeah. Yeah. And I also found it so amazing that his conversion experience, we were saying before the show, it actually happened in a garden. And I thought, isn't that fantastic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So he's in the garden, right?
In the garden and not by his mother.
Yeah. And then obviously Christ's agony was in a garden. Adam and Eve, their first fall, was in a garden.
Yes.
So I thought it was so telling that God, he always has a little bit of a sense of humor when he
right.
reaches out to us.
Right.
And he always makes it, I don't know, there's always that little like God wink in there, that touch of God where you're like, oh, of course, Lord, it's going to be in a garden.
Right.
Right.
Or a desert, depending on your situation.
Or a desert, I guess so. Yeah. But I just loved that. I was like, it's the garden. It's, you know.
Yeah.
It's where life is. It's where the pain and the agony and the blood of Christ.
Right. The fall.
Yeah, the fall. But he shed his blood, his very own blood in a garden. So, and it's always the precious blood of Jesus Christ that brings us
right
healing.
And he suffered watching all our sins in a garden.
Yes. Yeah.
So who knows what his conversion was. Maybe he suffered watching some sins also.
Yeah. Right. And then that's when he heard the words, pick up and read.
Yes.
Yeah. Legge.
Tele.
Tele legge, right? don't listen to my pronunciations, though. I'm not.
I spelled it phonetically in here.
Yeah.
Tole legge.
Tole legge. You would think my child goes to it. And Tole legge. But yeah.
Take up and read.
Yeah, right? And then
so he opened the scriptures.
Yes, and St. Ambrose.
And read
Ambrose.
A line from Romans.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And end up being baptized.
Yeah. That's fabulous.
Right.
And it was at Easter, the Easter vigil, that he was baptized.
Yeah.
So that garden experience was powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I love how God always reaches down. He meets us where we're at. And he doesn't say, you fool, or he doesn't, right, condemn
right.
us. He just convicts us. He says, open and read. Now, he was an intellect, so that's how he was going to get to Augustine, through an intellectual experience. Open and read.
Right.
Yeah.
not the other faith he was following.
Right.
So he sent Ambrose.
He did, who was obviously...
to read with him.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Because he was going... He was trying to follow a faith, but it wasn't the right one, and it was steering him the wrong way.
Exactly.
So it's like his mother wanted it, and she was praying so hard for it.
Yes.
But like I always say, I'm not going to be the one, Lord. You know it. I know it. Could you please send an Ambrose in to these situations?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Because, you know, really, as mothers, they get a little bit older, and this battle is on our knees. You know, this battle is in prayer and the rosary and petition and fasting and prayer. And that's how we're going to win these
wars.
Win
these wars.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so much today in the same way. Like, he a little bit disrespected his mother. Well, he did disrespect his mother a lot and mocked the faith. And I feel like we find that even in some kids today, where they get mad at their parents and they say, oh,
you and
I thought you followed Jesus. And, you know, you get upset and you get the...
Yeah, they twist it or manipulate it.
Yeah. And then you're like, I'll show you the peace of the Lord. You know the movie Inside Out where the little anger guy pushes the lever and fire comes out of his head? So I feel like he did a little bit of that to his mother too, right?
Yes.
And
it's
very much so today. And I think it talks all about how she also had the angry husband.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely. I was just thinking about that.
She had a violent husband.
Yes.
Who you know... had a wandering eye and wandered a lot. And
and I think he drank a lot.
Yeah.
He was angry. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was angry, and she had to pray her way through that and stay patient. And
yes. And she persevered in silence. When you read the story of St. Monica, it also illustrates that neighbors would come over and visit, and people would recognize that she was suffering, but that she suffered in patience and love and endurance. And they would say, how do you do it? Because they would... we read that they would maybe speak back to their husbands. So they would show up to Monica bruised or beaten and battered.
And they'd say, how do you not get beaten and battered?
Yeah. Yeah. Your husband.
Because we know your husband.
Exactly. Yeah. He's not the easiest of men. And basically she said, bite your tongue and know that the, know whose house, how did she phrase that?
Know whose house you're in,
you're in charge of.
Right.
And what she meant by that was you're in charge of your own soul, and it's between
you and God.
And you're
not going to change his.
And you're not going to change. So why bother, like,
Well, not that
back?
She wouldn't change. She wasn't a doormat.
Right.
She wasn't a pushover. She was raised in a very strict household, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she was raised pretty much by a nanny who ran a tight ship, or a nurse, they called her, who ran a tight ship.
Yeah.
Right? So she has her own little story, too, where she had a form, her formation happened young, too, because this nanny wouldn't let them even drink water outside of meals.
Right. Isn't that also beautiful how God works, though? Because he was forming Monica even before she was given in marriage, right? So back then, you didn't pick your husband. You were given in marriage.
Right.
And so she was given this. But even from her youth, our Lord was forming her. I mean, God knows. He sees all before we do.
Right.
And he was putting her through her own little boot camp,
right,
even as a child.
Right.
So maybe that's where she learned to bite her tongue. And maybe she got a few lashings from the nurse. I don't know that. But maybe there were certain things in training, I say. Boy, the Lord really trains us up.
But she did. When she was thirsty, she went to the wine cellar.
Oh, right.
Sipped on the wine.
She sipped on the wine. That's right.
And then one of the little servant girls caught her.
Right.
And they called her a wine bibber.
Yes.
Which was a great insult in that day.
Yes.
And she was basically shamed straight.
Yeah.
Not scared straight, shamed straight.
Right. But she had a heart to receive that, right?
She did.
She knew that that was wrong. And then so, again, in being maybe condemned, the Lord used it as a little conviction. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and she was able to say, all right.
Well, she overcame something that was an earthly desire or a fleshly desire, right? And from that point on, she started to pay attention to the things of the world and... So it was her childhood that sort of taught her.
Well, exactly. So that's what I'm saying. The neighbors are saying, how do you do this? How do you know how to bite your tongue? How do you know how to reserve. How do you know that, you know, where do you get this wisdom from?
Right.
And then she shared it with them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Bite your tongue, stay in silence. And I always think that's amazing because we open the show with the fact that you don't hear from Mary a lot in scripture, but you do hear from her in that Magnificat, and it's beautiful. But Mary always pondered things in her heart, and she stayed silent a lot. She did not speak a lot. She pondered everything in her heart. She held things in her heart, and she was silent.
Well, I think she lived so much on the spiritual side of the world that she understood a little better than we do.
Yeah. But Monica had that wisdom to know when to stay silent, know when to walk away. She waited until her husband was in better spirits, if you will, to approach him on topics or to revisit some things. So she didn't meet him.
She
in his
did
anger.
Speak. She just spoke quietly and gently. And right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it did say she waited. So if he was in like a, you know, maybe he had too many pints.
But not her son. It sounds like she went after the son.
Yeah. Well, that's different. She had spiritual authority over the son. She knew she was under the husband's authority. So she had a real understanding of the order of things.
Right.
It seems to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So she was effective in her manner.
She was.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's what she was sharing with her neighbors. If you don't want to get beaten and bruised,
right,
bite your tongue.
Right.
And know that you're the master of your own soul, if you will.
And that I think she understood that her prayers were heard.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And then the Lord used her also as an example to us that it's his timing.
Yes.
We do need to pray through it because we have to sustain, you know, we have to keep them sort of wrapped in a little safety, a little prayer, a little, you know, ask the Lord. As people that are in the spirit, ask the Lord constantly to protect them, to keep them, to bring mm-hmm. them down the path, to prepare them to receive whoever's going to give them the message they're going to receive.
Mm-hmm. And then isn't it ironic we were talking about how the Lord was forming Monica this whole time? Mm-hmm. Well, the Lord was actually probably using all of this intellectual knowledge he was obtaining from the wrong people. He was also using that to form Augustine.
Right.
And then when he says, when he heard those words in the garden, pick up and read, right?
Right.
It struck him. He said, what do you mean? I do read. I am knowledgeable. I know, right?
Yeah.
And then he was faced with, boom.
Go find the truth.
Go find the truth.
Right.
And then it really spoke to him. He said, you know? And then, so the Lord was also forming him, but Monica maybe couldn't see that in the moment. At the time, she couldn't see that.
She saw he was down the wrong path, but she didn't see the use. God can take anything bad and turn it good.
Exactly. And that's what's so amazing. So even in our own lives, our own situations with our children, and they talked about that at the retreat a little bit too. We can't always see what God is doing. We just have to trust. And we talked about trusting in his mercy, trusting in his love, because we can see where our kids are wayward. We can see where they're off. And you want so badly for them to be on the right path, for them to be following the truth.
Right.
And not their own truth, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you say, God, hurry up and take your time.
Exactly. But really, God's forming them the whole time. And then, you know, whatever garden that they're going to be in at the time, that's when
he'll
strike. When the time is right, he's God. He knows what he's doing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we're mothers and we're to pray.
Exactly. That's our role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the family, for the husband. She had a wayward husband and a wayward son.
Yep.
Right. So maybe he learned a little bit from both of them.
Yeah, exactly. And it took him a minute to see.
And
find
a middle ground or find his own way. His own truth, his own path.
Yeah. But God knew the whole time. God was there the whole time. God was collecting the tears. He was hearing the prayers. And he was working his own formation plan. And so that's a really beautiful story for Monica.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, I think the husband also converted.
And so did the mother-in-law.
The mother-in-law. How about it? So that was
early in marriage, she lived in the house with them.
Yes. Yeah.
And the story is she made things worse by gossip and getting in the middle. And and so she ended up converting at the end of the day also.
Yeah. So that's how good God is.
Yeah.
Right?
So, I mean, the lesson is really sometimes when people mock you and this and that, they really, clearly they see
they
your faith.
See. And they're paying attention. It's going in.
And they feel.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they maybe think they're not on the right path or you're you know, they feel they're being judged, even if they're not, whatever it is, they're going to attack your faith.
Yeah. And that goes back to what Kathleen always says, too. You may be the only Bible somebody reads.
Yes.
And that's the one that's going to capture their hearts. They see, you know, they take more in, especially children, through just watching you, right? Through your witness, through your silent witness, even more than what you say. And
right. Mm-hmm. What you're doing.
What you're doing.
The kitchen table, what your,
yeah,
you know, your work, everything you do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So Monica was a very interesting character. She persevered and she did mirror. There's a lot of mirror images between Monica and her son and Our Lady's Immaculate Heart and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. It was the mother and the son, like we opened the segment with.
Right.
And it's a beautiful thing to reflect on in your own lives. So if anyone out there has any stories of their in the process, if their children are in the process of a conversion, or you're praying for a conversion, or you're hoping, this weekend they also talked a lot about hope, not to let go of hope.
Right.
Yeah.
And to be grateful and thankful.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know what's going on, you can say to the Lord, yeah, joy. Always be praying for joy. Always pray in joy.
In joy.
That's mm-hmm. Father Jim Blount.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He says your prayers aren't heard if you're not praying in joy.
Exactly. Thank you, Lord.
I mean, I'm sure they're heard if you're crying in sorrow and you're a mother.
Yeah,
it's a mother's tears.
A mother's hearts.
You know, but but you have to have hope in the Lord and always gratitude. I can't see what you're doing, but I know you're working. And some parents don't see the outcome in their lifetime.
Right.
I mean, I have friends and I've heard on multiple occasions, you know, after my mother or my father passed,
that's when one of my
siblings turned the corner.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't always happen in our lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So gratitude for whatever the Lord's doing.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And faith that you can pray and fast and offer up for them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Absolutely.
And the rosary is really important.
Yeah. And the Divine Mercy Chaplet is really important. And then, I mean, we even hear St. Faustina tell us that the greater the sinner, the more
access, right.
Yeah,
he
has
to the
his mercy.
Right. Mm-hmm. The more deserving of the mercy, right?
Yes. Yeah. And that is how beautiful our God is. He is a really good God. He's our Father. He is an Abba. He's not some faraway, distant God. He's right there walking with us, talking with us, right?
Right.
Just like back in that garden when he walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening. He walked with them and he talked with them, right? And he's beautiful. He's personal and he loves us and he wants to love us back into wholeness.
Yeah.
And he will, even if we can't see it.
And when Adam and Eve fell.
Yeah.
He's the one that put clothes on them.
Yeah, exactly.
He came and stitched up clothing for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
that's a beautiful Father
that
we have in God and a beautiful Mother that we have in Our Lady.
Right.
Who's more Mother than Queen. That's what Kathleen always reminds us. And I can't believe it. We're already at the half hour mark.
Yeah.
So we are going to go to a commercial break and we'll be back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone, in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Oh. Hello. We're back.
We are back. Welcome, welcome. I am Marta Kyle, if you're just tuning in.
And I'm Tara Wolfington.
And you're listening to Here I Am, Lord. And with today's segment, we are talking about St. Monica, because that's who the church recognizes today. And tomorrow is her son, St. Augustine. And it's so beautiful that the church has put their feast days together. And we are just reviewing the beautiful story of Monica and St. Augustine, and the beautiful story of the true mother and the true son, which is Jesus and Mary.
Right, and we talked about the sorrow, a mother's sorrow.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And how your heart is very connected to your son.
Beautiful.
Or daughter.
And we're excited because we have a caller on line one, and it's our buddy Frank. Frank the Great. Hold on. Frank?
This is Frank, not Frank the Great. Frank
this
the
is Great. Frank the Great. We love you, Frank. How are you?
I just kind of sat by St. Monica today. Like right when your show started, you probably are aware about it, but I'm just going to tell you in case you're not. I know St. Monica prayed for her son, St. Augustine, because he had a lot of different vices.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But St. Monica, she also was a drinker before she stopped. Were you aware of that?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Yep.
She was a wine bibber.
Yeah.
Because Captain Lou, I asked Captain Lou, I said, you know, St. Monica's today, and St. Augustine, he goes, yeah, I never knew that. Do you know who helped St. Augustine quit his vices? Do you know who helped him?
Who?
Bishop St. Ambrose?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep, that's it, St. Ambrose. In terms, again, Captain Lou told me, I just found out when the show started, I looked into it, did my research.
Awesome.
That's awesome, yeah.
I thought it was just a prayer of St. Monica. I think she prayed for him, like, for, I don't know, 17, 20 years, 25 years, I forget, a long time before he quit his bad habits.
Right.
Yes, yep.
Well, she probably knew from her youth that his bad habits were causing him internal pain that he didn't talk about.
Yeah.
Right?
It's amazing. I don't even know, like, he was a gambler. I told Ace Lou, I said, there was no casinos, no cards. What was he gambling? Dice probably, huh? That was rough back then, a gambler.
Exactly. Yes. And he had a mistress and a child out of wedlock. I mean, he covered all the bases.
He right. Much
had the, he was my hero.
Exactly. Mine, too. Don't kid yourself. He was everybody's.
I was a drinker. I was not a gambler. I was not a drug addict. I was not a womanizer.
Right. Yeah.
And you probably learned a lot of lessons, Frank. It was probably a big part of your formation, right?
Bad lessons. Yeah, yeah. I don't know what not to do.
Right, right.
But that's don't how do. We learn. Yeah.
Who said, do as I say, not as I do, or something like that? Who said that?
Who spoke that truth?
Who was that?
Who was that? Do as I say, not as I do.
Probably every parent in America and the whole world.
Sounds like a proverb.
Good for me, but not for thee, or something like that, whatever.
Yeah. And St. Ambrose, even during his conversion, is said to have said he knows that he had to give up all these wayward things right in his life. And he said, okay, Lord, I know I have to give these up, but not yet. I'm not ready yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Get this. A long time ago, when I worked at Nazareth Hospital as a nurse's aide, we made like $7.60 an hour, right? Mm-hmm. And the aide I worked with, she was in her 50s, so she made the same as I did. Every day that I'm aware about, she spent $50 a day in lottery tickets. It was a whole pay, pretty much.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
50 tickets every day.
Yeah.
Wow.
It is addicting.
Sometimes she played 50-50, so $1 straight or whatever. She played 50-50, 50 cents box.
Yeah. Yeah.
The whole day, she spent the whole pay on tickets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You hear that a lot, actually. You hear, like, some people
take their whole Social Security and go down to the slot machines. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know something? When I used to go to AA, there was a guy there. They called him Walking Jimmy because he just walked. He was homeless. He walked everywhere. I'm not sure what kind of check he got every month, But beginning of the month, he got money from the government, right?
Yeah.
He'd take one of those buses to take it down to the casinos on downtown somewhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For anywhere from 1 to 3 days, he lived the high life at the casino that he'd work again. He spent the whole paycheck.
That's right. Because that's what the casinos do. They invite you in. They'll put you up in a room. They'll feed you. They'll give you free drink tickets. They'll do anything to keep you coming back.
Right.
Yeah.
It's amazing. He could have had money, but he spent the whole thing in a couple of days on a slot machine.
Exactly.
Well, it brings momentary joy, but it leads to loneliness.
Yeah.
It leads to what?
Loneliness, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? I never thought about
well,
it.
Well, don't you think? Because you're putting all your finances, all your joy into those 3 days, and then the rest of the month you suffer. And you can't do anything, and you can't eat, so you just kind of sit home, I guess, and then you would get lonely. I think a lot mm-hmm. of these addictions lead to loneliness.
That's true. Also depression, probably, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I never thought about that. That's a good point. I never thought about that.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow. That's terrible.
It is terrible. I'm sure you've thought about it a time or two.
Yeah. I've been in a casino 4 times my whole life. Once in high school, it was a work thing from ShopRite. Went to see a boxing match. Once my brother-in-law's parents came down from Canada, went to the casino. And went just for the hell of it. And that was it.
Yeah.
It's not for me. Yeah, I'm not a gambler. I just don't get into it. Never try drugs.
Yeah. A lot of times, young kids are getting into sports betting, so it's a different form of gambling. But it's right off of their phone, these phones, the convenience of the here and now, and even as young as high school.
Yeah.
I know they're betting on all kinds of, especially football.
And they
baseball.
Give them a bank. They give
and
them
they
credit.
And they give them a bank, yep.
And then they end up owing all kinds of money.
Yeah.
You know something? You mentioned that because of cell phones, they can gamble right away.
Right off their phone, yeah.
Again, I'm not a bettor, but like on football games, there's besides who's going to win, they bet, there's all different options. You can bet on everything on that. Who will run a whatever? I don't know. None better.
Oh, even if a plane's going to take off.
The most interceptions, everything you bet on.
Yeah.
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 It's crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They have everything you can bet on. I was saying, even they're starting to bet on when planes are going to get canceled, when flights are going to get canceled. And the government.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
On airlines?
Yep. They're betting on airlines. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I never heard of that.
That's yeah, crazy. Me neither. But I saw it on the news. They have to actually address it with the government to try and shut that down because they're afraid that people are going to purposefully try and make these flights not take off. Or,
right.
You know, because they have money on the line and
right.
stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Right. It is crazy. Yeah.
Well, I mean, anytime you do something, my point about loneliness was anytime you do something like that, you end up with a secret.
Mm-hmm.
And then the secret gnaws and the secret makes you withdraw a little more. And then that's where the loneliness has the ability to grab hold. It's mm-hmm. with any addiction. It's with the drink, with the drug,
this.
With the gambling, with whatever you're partaking in too often.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought of that to mention just right now, with me being an alcoholic. In the beginning, I was not lonely. It was fun. But at the very end,
yeah.
I was the bar may be crowded, but I'm not paying attention. I'm talking with people, but still, I felt isolated. I felt alone. I felt helpless and hopeless. I felt just stuck drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And so being an alcoholic, at least for me, it was very lonely, too.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I think that's, you know, what addiction does. It takes everyone down a path until you hit, you know, secret,
yeah.
secret, lonely, skit, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Thanks, lady. I'm
thank God you're on the other side.
That no one has any kind of problem with anything. Alcohol, drugs, gambling, sexing, what else?
Oh, there's so many. Yeah.
I heard, not that long, maybe about a year ago or so, pornography, say 30 years ago, was mostly guys going to buy the magazines. Now it's mostly females online
yes.
looking stuff up, pornography.
Yeah. Right. Isn't that
it's crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go figure.
I know. So we all have to just pray fast. Be St. Monica's.
Yeah.
For the world,
persevere.
Right?
Yeah. I'm praying. I'm fasting.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Martha and Tara. Appreciate your show.
Thanks, Frank.
Thank you. You're the best. Right. See ya.
No,
see
you are the best. All four of you. Mary, Jennifer, Martha and Tara.
Yeah.
thanks, Frank.
That's awesome. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay.
There we go.
That was fun.
Good. It's
yeah.
always good to talk to Frank.
It is. I love it.
Right.
Yeah. So it is interesting. All the walks of life, we all stray, right? We all get lost.
Everybody has something.
Everyone goes off the path at some point.
Nobody gets out of here unscathed.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, maybe St. Joseph and Mary, but that was different. They didn't have original sin, and you know.
Right. Well, St. Joseph might have.
St. Joseph might have. There's debates on that one. Yeah. But anyway, whoever said it was easy? Nobody, right?
God didn't promise us a cruise ship.
He promised us a battleship. That's right.
That's right.
And the way you win the battle, Our Lady told us at Fatima, and actually in all of all these apparitions that she's appeared around the world, the way to win these battles is through the rosary, right?
Prayer and fasting.
And the Bible. Rosary,
and communion.
And scripture.
And confession.
Mm-hmm.
The five stones.
Yeah.
And it sort of repeats what she said when she was in Fatima.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of the same thing, but in Fatima, she asked Lucia in an apparition alone in December of 25 to consecrate your first Saturday to reparation for her Immaculate Heart, right? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. it's the same kind of thing. She wants confession.
The first Saturday of the month for
Holy
five
Communion,
mm-hmm.
5 decades of the rosary, 15 minutes of meditating.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
In reparation.
Yes, because for the blasphemies that she receives. We wound her heart when we sin.
Right.
Yeah. And then when you wound her, you wound our Lord. And when you wound our Lord, you wound her. So it's the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Hearts. And those are beautiful devotions that we have.
And our kids wound us. Imagine, they're getting everybody's wounds.
Yes.
It's like I always think about Jesus in the garden. You were talking about the stained glass window and Mass.
Oh, I love that. Yes, yes.
And whenever I see that or I ponder that, I say, oh, no wonder he sweat blood. How could you kneel there and just be inundated with all the sins of all time and how they weren't going to be appreciative for the sacrifice you were making. And I mean, we're going to talk about drive you to First Friday and First Saturday.
Yes. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So they're great devotions, right?
Yes. And that he made the great sacrifice to even death on a cross. Every last drop of his blood was shed. He gave and emptied himself until he couldn't give and empty himself anymore.
And then they pierced his heart.
And then, yeah.
The last bit of blood and water.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Just and when he you still he loved give more. Because then he turned that into the devotion, right? St. Faustina.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable, the divine mercy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So he's a God that loves and is loved so little in return. And he asks us to make reparation for that. And that's how we do that on the First Friday devotion. And the first Saturday devotion of the month. So the first Friday and the first Saturday of each month. And there's beautiful promises that come along with it. So Kathleen also always says he doesn't give us what we deserve.
Right.
He always gives us love and mercy.
Right.
Because if we got what we deserved, woo, baby.
So the first Friday is like the same thing, right? The first Friday is confession, Mass.
Yes.
Right. Read your Bible, say your rosary.
Yeah, meditate on the mysteries of the rosary.
Yeah, but with going with the intent to make reparation.
To make reparation.
You actually have to go with the intent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 Right? And I think there's 12 beautiful promises, and one of them is peace in the family.
Yeah. Yes.
Right?
Yep. And he'll bless your endeavors, and he promises protections for us.
Yeah.
I mean, didn't we hear that in the gospel today, right? If we knew the hour, we would make sure the robber didn't break in. We would be awake and alert.
Right.
So be awake and alert, and because we don't know the day, we don't know the hour. And
talk about St. Monica's death?
No.
That she didn't know the day or the hour?
Oh, yeah, right. True. Mm-hmm.
But her son had a conversion.
Yes, he had had the conversion, and she died a few days later.
But at first, they had a mystical experience together when they were discussing the Lord.
Yeah,
and together they had an mystical experience, and 3 or 4 days later, she died.
She died. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Mission fulfilled.
Yeah.
Well
it
done.
Was her whole life.
Yeah.
For that mission.
Well done.
Yes, she could. Isn't that what they say? When you lay down and die, it's like you ran the good race. You fought the good fight, and you ran the good race, and she could die in peace.
Right.
And I think she did. She said, I don't care where you bury me. I don't care what you do. Just
remember me
on
the altar.
Yeah.
Right? Remember me at the altar.
Yeah, because Augustine went on to become a bishop, right? And he went on to become a doctor of the church. I mean, it's actually an amazing story if you think about it from soup to nuts.
Now, they found Monica's body.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, and they brought it up, and it's in Rome in a church.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I know. I said I've been to Rome so many times. I never...
Yeah.
Next time I go, I'm going to look that up.
Yeah.
Find out where it is, right?
Oh, Monica! Where art thou, oh, Monica? Yes.
So they even talk about when, you know, speaking of motherhood, when Jesus was preaching one day and a woman wanted to cry out to him and praise him. He was, you know, she was saying, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast that nursed you. Right.
Yes.
So she was praising him through his mother, saying, mm-hmm. you must have had a really good mama to become
yes.
this. Right.
Right.
And then he redirects her a little bit
mm-hmm.
and takes it deeper and says, blessed rather are those who hear the word of the Lord and observe it.
Yeah.
So
isn't that magnificent?
Yeah. So that's the real job of the
prayer
mother.
Prayer and action. Yeah.
Right. That's mm-hmm. the real job of the mother. It's one thing that we sacrifice and we have them and, you know, it's earthly things, time and nurture and feed and
yeah.
clothe and bathe and... A big part of it, which he's redirecting here, is it goes much deeper than that.
Mm-hmm.
We have
how
to
how you live your life.
We right? have to pass on the word of God,
mm-hmm.
right, and observe it, and teach them to hear it and observe it.
Yes, which is
as well
again,
as we can. After a certain age,
yeah,
that battle's on your knees
mm-hmm.
because you can't.
Exactly.
You have to let you know.
It has to
let
be in
them,
God's time, the work of the Holy Spirit, right?
Right.
And it's just like the garden. He's going to meet them where they're at. He's going to meet them at the appropriate time. He knows the plan. He knows what's going on.
Yeah. And yeah. there's that little prayer of, do you not think I love them?
I love that
Do you
one.
Think if
yeah.
you love them that much that I don't love them that much more?
Yes. That's so beautiful to remember. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you have a daily prayer routine,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
That it's very helpful to get through life.
Yeah. And it's the practical application. That's the point that I was making, too, was tying it back to Monica, how she was able to live with an abusive husband, right? He cheated on her. He was verbally, mentally, you know, he wasn't that great.
Mm-hmm.
Her child mocked her, mocked her faith. He went wayward. He took off on the ship and then gave her the wrong time and was like, yeah, Mom, that ship leaves at 7. Really,
right.
left at 5.
Right.
You know?
Maybe that's where that ship has sailed came from.
Yeah. But she understood her faith and she had practical application of it. She had the everyday application of the faith where she probably, you know, that's where all those tears came from. She cried. She was human. She had all the emotion, but she stayed in faith. She stayed close to Christ and she lived her faith beautifully. And that's why she's a saint today. Right.
She was not a passive woman. She was not a doormat.
Right.
She was a woman of iron patience. And relentless, tearful, hopeful prayer.
Yes. Doesn't yeah. that sound like fun?
But that's what I was going to say about it. If you have a daily prayer habit and you're in the habit of going to Mass in the morning and you're in the habit of picking up the Gospels and reading them and you're in the habit, like people say they don't have time, but when you are in these habits,
mm-hmm.
there's little niches of time all through the day that you find. I mean, look how much time people scroll or how much time people watch a soap opera or do whatever,
mm-hmm.
fill in the blank, whatever you do with your time.
Yeah.
And there is so much fruit that comes from it. So
mm-hmm.
you'll be in a certain, as you do this day after day after day, don't
yeah,
you find
don't
times
realize.
Where you ask a little question in your head and then 2 days later you're like, whoa.
Yeah, I got
answer?
The answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was just, I didn't even know you were listening. You know
yes.
what I mean? And you get
yeah.
like a.
Yes.
And then you start making little minute connections between different things. It's so intricate.
It's so
the faith.
Intricate.
Every story,
yes.
every turn the story a different way.
Yes.
Read an Alan Ames book. Like he
yes.
got
awesome.
Locutions from the Lord where he actually, the Lord told him.
Yeah,
like
beautiful.
Verbatim from his own mind, this is what this situation looked like for me when I was walking with my
yes.
apostles and this happened. This is what I was thinking. And that book will blow you away.
Yeah.
So there's so many things you can read and do that become a part, a habit in your life. And you don't realize, like one day you said to me, what do I have to offer? I said,
yeah,
let's think about that for a moment. And you get to a point where you don't realize all of a sudden you're you have a lot going on spiritually in your world, and you didn't even, it was just from these daily habits.
Yeah. And you realize the whole time the Lord is walking with you through the daily habits. So
and
it's
you're
not
growing.
A God that's far away. He's not a God that's distant. He's right. He's alive inside of you, and he's moving and working with you every single day. Your very breath is from God, right?
So right.
Everything you do, you start to see him in your daily walk.
Right.
You see him in other people, and it just becomes natural. It's like he just gives you the grace, right? Because these are all graces to start to see. He opens your heart, he opens your mind, he opens your ear. So it's to your point, you just start to see this weekend at the retreat again. Father Blend said, so when you get that flat tire, start praising and thanking God and be joyful because there's a reason you have a flat tire, right? He's with you in that moment. Or when you miss your flight or someone, you know, cuts you off in traffic or someone's driving slow and you're in a rush, you start to see God in every single situation.
Right.
Where before you might have been frustrated.
And then you're like, if I wasn't 10 minutes late, I would have been in that accident. Or I always think of that since 9/11.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
The one guy, they made him get the donuts or the coffee and his pride was hurt. And he, why am I the one that has to go get the donuts or the coffee? And then he ended up not being in the building.
Not being in the building. Mm-hmm.
And the other guy was mad because his child forgot her backpack, whatever the story was, and he had to go home, and he was going to be 2 hours late to get in the city, and
he
didn't end up in the building.
And I heard a story where someone's alarm didn't go off, so they missed the flight, so they weren't on the plane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so many stories.
So many stories, yeah.
Uh-huh. And that was like one major, but one life event in the world. I mean, think about in the day-to-day of your life, how many times you miss it. You know, there's so many miracles that happen every day, we just miss them because we're not...
Right.
Tuned in to.
Yes. And then instead of, to Father's point, so instead of thanking God for all those moments and praying in joy, we're actually grumbling.
Right.
And we're complaining. And he's like, wait a minute, folks, this is a gift. I'm helping you out. And all you do is complain.
Right.
Or all you do is grumble.
Right.
And you think you're not getting what you want, but really I'm giving you what's best for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. It takes a lifetime to learn these lessons.
It does. And you have to practice and practice. And then there's a whole thing on praying before you eat. How really important it is.
It is
how the Lord gets upset that he gave you this bounty and this food. And if you don't pray, it's not a good thing.
You ask the Lord to bless the food, bless the gifts that came from his bounty. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And if not, you're kind of another wound of the heart.
Yeah. And it's going to be, I always think it's going to be really difficult when we do have that illumination or we do have our moment before God, when we actually understand how much our sins wound the heart of Jesus and the heart of Mary and even the heart of Joseph. And it's going to be rough. That's a hard reality to swallow.
Right.
So if you do,
because maybe we're not tuned into, if you don't genuflect properly.
You know,
when you cross yourself,
do it,
like be reverent. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a big thing in a lot of moments if you read the lives of saints. And
yes.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Mm-hmm. Reverence.
Reverence.
For God.
For God.
Yeah, and gratitude. And yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Go. So it's amazing that tomorrow will be the feast day of St. Augustine. And if you read his life, or maybe make it a point to read up on him, do a little bit of homework on him tonight, because once he had that conversion, boy, oh boy, did he take off, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And another thing I got from the retreat and from this story is you have to ask.
Yeah.
You can't skip through life thinking God will take care of it and God's going to do it and God's going to. You have to ask. I mean, the Lord doesn't invade your...
You have
free will, and he's a gentleman. And if you don't ask him, invite him in, then he's not going to come.
Right.
So there's a lot being said these days about talk to your guardian angel. That's her job. They're right there.
Right.
But you have to ask. Mm-hmm. There's legions of angels that are right there.
Yeah.
But you have to ask.
And thank them. Mm-hmm.
And thank, but come. Mm-hmm. And that's a big one for me.
Yeah.
Lord, please send legions of angels.
Right.
Surround my children and my grandchildren.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Or thank you for sending
and
legions
thank you
of angels.
For them being available.
Yes.
Right.
That's awesome.
So, so I guess the human heart, you know, by grace, we try to get in the same pattern as the Sacred Heart.
Yeah. And the Immaculate Heart. You can't separate the two hearts.
Yeah. Right.
Absolutely. And that mother-child bond is strong. God hears the prayers of the mother and the father. We heard a lot about the importance of the father this weekend, too.
Yeah.
The importance of the male role
right.
in all of these situations. It's not just the female role.
Right.
Sometimes the female is left holding the bag because the male isn't standing up and doing his part. But,
right.
you know, if that happens, God will stand in the gap with you, I'm sure. He'll fill in for our needs. And
Father Blunt did a retreat last night for the men.
Yeah.
At Malvern.
Yes.
Yeah. I heard it was really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that same thing. Men,
stand up
and pray for your households and
yeah.
actually bless your households with holy water once a week.
Yes.
Walk around at least the four corners,
mm-hmm.
bedrooms.
Mm-hmm.
Martin and I put our holy water in spray bottles.
I
don't know if you
yesterday.
Would call that the lazy man's blessing of the house, so we don't tip it on our finger anymore and go like that. Now we...
I go around the whole inside and the whole outside. I think my neighbors are like, what is she doing? I'm like,
she's the crazy lady.
Yeah. But they don't know what I'm doing. They're like, why is she spraying?
But you put salt in it, right? Bless salt in your
yes.
holy water.
Yeah.
And go.
Yes.
But he was saying, my point was he was saying that if there's a man in the house, he should,
right.
the man should bless it.
Yes.
If, you know.
Yes.
If not, ladies, you know, go do it.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. So all in all, we're always tested and gold is tested in fire, right?
Yeah.
Monica was tested and she really stayed in the fire.
Right.
And she came out pretty golden.
Yeah.
Like gold.
Well, that's what I was trying to say. She learned a lot from her early addiction and she
yeah.
learned about hiding and loneliness and lying and
yes.
all those things come with addiction, right?
Yeah.
And coming clean and,
yeah.
and putting
of.
Away your pride and mm-hmm. standing up in a, and looking at your own heart.
Yeah.
You know, all that.
Yes.
And she came out on the other side.
Yeah.
Squeaky,
Absolutely.
Squeaky. Right?
Yes. So in the catechism, we hear that prayer is the life of a new heart. It ought to animate us at every moment, but we tend to forget him who is our life and our all. So that's going to be our goal, not to forget.
Right.
Jesus and Mary, who are our life and our all. Jesus.
Right. So living in the way of Christ, we're to love sinners patiently.
Yes.
Right? Without giving up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Always be in hope.
Yeah. And the month of September is going to be here before we know it. And that is dedicated to the sorrowful heart of Our Lady. And so that's another really unite your prayers to Mary.
Right.
And focus on, she also had the seven sorrows, right?
Right.
And I'm sure she actually had a lot more than seven sorrows, but the
right.
seven sorrows rosary.
Yeah.
And the month of September will be a beautiful month.
Yeah.
Don't forget that golf outing. See, I knew we weren't going to have time to get it in, so it's a good thing we did when we did.
Right.
October 12th, it's the 15th annual golf tournament, and it's at Old York Country Club in Ambler, PA.
Right.
Please, please, please join us. It's so much fun, and there's only two fundraisers a year, so come out and join us. We'd love to see you.
And you can just come for dinner.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter if you're not a great golfer.
It does not. They call
it's
me Sandy.
Fun. They call me Amy.
And sometimes they call me Missy.
Because I can't aim it.
And I miss, and if I don't miss, I'm in the sand trap. So come out and join us. It was so fun talking with you today. Thanks for listening.
Don't forget to stay tuned.
Don't forget to stay tuned to Dr. Anton Raimondo. He is up next, and he always has an excellent show planned for you.
Yep.
So God bless.
See you next week.
And see you next week.
Join us again next week as we explore scripture reflections, personal stories, and practical encouragement, leading us to say, "Yes, here I am, Lord."